Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Everyone, my name is Dr. Betty Speaks, and I am your lifetime infant leader. I am extremely passionate about empowering individuals to resurrect and establish themselves through the four components of life. That's spiritual growth, financial literacy, personal and professional development. I am that chosen warrior who inspires others to create an imprint that will live on long after they are gone. I hold virtual group and family workshops on leaving an imprint. I will help you understand the importance of rising above your life encounters and how you shall start facilitating simple things into your lives just by getting rid of the stress that plagues our nation. So thank you for tuning in to Overcoming Battles by Being Strong and Courageous. This is an intentional, motivational, plus inspirational show that is filled with wisdom that will awaken your hope, your ambition, your faith, and inner strength, plus cover a variety of genuine life-changing topics that are designed to encourage listeners who are worldwide with the knowledge that strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming the things you once thought you couldn't. So thank you again for tuning in with us. Listen, you will be listening to nothing but the stone truth. So if you're lacking motivation right now, to the point that is keeping you stuck in life, the only person standing in your way is you. Know that the only person that's standing in your way is you. So today I have a phenomenal guest. I know you hear this all the time, but honestly, I promise you that this guest today, she is an actor. She is the owner of the number one fashion business. I don't know what title I should get it. I'll let her tell you that. But I'm going to move out of the way because I only have a few moments of her time. So I'm going to ask her to announce who she is, give her name, and what it is that she does. And I'll ask her a couple of questions just so she can get back to doing what she does best. Guest, are you there?
I am here.
Oh my goodness. I was getting ready to just mess up who you are. All I know is you're my BFF and your first name is Yemi. But I'm going to ask you to tell the world your full name, your background, what it is that you do.
Okay. Well, thank you, Betty, for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. I loved your opening. As you were talking about, you know, being you, you know, the only thing that stands in someone's way is themselves. And I was just nodding my head thinking that is so, 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 so true. But hi, everyone. Hi, audience. Thank you all for tuning in. My name is Yemi Shikoni. My full name is actually Olu Yemisi Shikoni for any Nigerian listeners that are there, which means that you'll identify where part of my heritage is from. So I'm half Jamaican, half Nigerian, born in the UK, thus the slightly weird accent. But what I do, a number of things. First and foremost, I own a modeling agency. So I work with companies in the local market that my office, my agency is in, which is on the East Coast, Rhode Island. And I'm providing models and talent for their marketing and advertising needs. I work with designers, provide models for their fashion shows and stuff like that. Alongside that, I produce Rhode Island Fashion Week. And so that's producing, providing a platform for local fashion designers to feature their latest collections. Of course, with the pandemic last year, the lockdown happened, so we didn't get to do that. And so, I always, a little diversion, I always say that the business word of 2020 should be the word pivot, because whoever you spoke to, pivot was always in the conversation somewhere. And so with the lockdown, I did a slight pivot. And so in place of producing Rhode Island Fashion Week, I started to host a virtual fashion and beauty series that features designers and their collections from all over the world. And so people would tune in from anywhere in the globe and watch these little fashion shows and learn a little bit more about fashion in another part of the world where they didn't really have any knowledge of. And that, in a nutshell, is what I do.
Wow.
In addition to the acting, I forgot to mention that.
In a nutshell, you know, I was just having a conversation with Yemi, and I was telling her whenever I am going through something and I put on my phone and I'm in my like relaxed mode and I love watching videos and all of a sudden Yemi will appear. I am like thousands of miles away from her and she will appear on a movie, a video, and it's just like a commercial. She does it all. Honestly, can you tell us just a little about, you know, that side of you? Because you're a phenomenal actress.
Well, thank you. I've been acting since I was probably 5-6 years old when I did my very first play. I was in The Sound of Music. And strange as this may sound, I remember distinctly the moment that I think we're singing the Hills Are Alive with The Sound of Music, the opening song. And I remember at 6-7 years old, a thought, being conscious of a thought in my head that said, this is what I would do for the rest of my life. This was it. And at that point, I didn't really know what that meant. It's just now years later when I think about that moment, because I never forgot it, it made sense. And so, you know, I started in school plays when I was in grade school. And, you know, my family, the weird thing is nobody else in my family does what I do. You know, my mother was in admin, my sister's a pharmacist, my brother's an engineer, my dad was in insurance. So everybody did something different. And then there was me. and, you know, thank goodness my mom never tried to quell this side of me, this passion that I had. So whatever school play was, you know, whatever we were producing, mom would always come and see the show. And so, you know, all the way through grade school, when I was in college, I was studying. I got my bachelor's in education, but with a minor in fine art. But I was always in the drama department. Most of my friends were in drama. Every time they had an audition, I was auditioning. So I was always in the school plays. I also sang in the band. I'm not a great singer, but I also sang in the band at school. But just, you know, the performance aspect, you know, that side of me is just such a huge part of who I am, and it's impossible to separate. Now, when I moved here, I moved to the States from the UK in 99, and then I moved to Rhode Island in 2001. And when I settled in Rhode Island, I started to really want to get into the industry here, and I didn't know where to go or who to talk to. So just kind of asking around, telling people what I did, and I was working at the bank at the time. One of my colleagues there said, well, I don't really know anything about the industry, but there's a place called John Casablancas. Why don't you call them up? And I don't know if you're familiar with John Casablancas. They've got locations in different states. but they're, you know, they teach modeling classes. And so when I went, and I didn't know what they did at that time, I just went, I set up an appointment, went in to meet with them, and I explained to them that, you know, I'm an actress, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, well, we don't really do acting. We do modeling. We're a modeling school. So I decided to sign up and take the modeling program. But I wasn't thinking of modeling. It was just kind of, all right, you know something, maybe that's my foot in the door, and then hopefully I'll be able to get onto the acting side of things. But then I realized that modeling was so much fun. And so I started to pursue that. And then I joined Donahue, my agency, as a model back in 2005. And, you know, over the time, I didn't realize at the time that she'd been looking for someone that she could, you know, kind of start to groom to take over the agency because she was looking to retire. And so when I happened along, she just liked my energy, my passion, you know, my personality, my hardworking nature. So she started to mentor me without me realizing that that's what she was doing. And then 2009, 2010 was when she, after about 4 years of me, you know, modeling for the agency, she approached me and asked me if I'd be interested in buying the company from her. And that's basically what we did. But I've done a little bit of everything. Theater, I've done independent movies. I mean, I never got to be featured in a major movie. I've done background work and stuff like that. Had I not taken over the agency, because I've owned the agency, this is my 11th year, I probably would have gone on to pursue the modeling and acting, you know, a lot more. But my role changed, and I'm, you know, when you get to do your day job is what you're most passionate about. It never feels like work. And so each and every day when I get up, I, you know, this is the honest truth. I'm always grateful that I am doing what I do. because it's enabled me to really make this a full-time career, whereas most people in my local market do this part-time, which is what I was doing when I was actively modeling and acting. Something else had to pay the bills. But, you know, like you said, Betty, yes, I've done, you know, movies, TV commercials, you know, all of that. So it's always cool when someone would send me an email saying, this looks like you. Is this you? I've had people flying to Jamaica and then they open up the in-flight magazine. I say, oh, that's Yemi. I have friends in Connecticut that got their postcard from Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Oh, that's Yemi. So it happens very often. And it's cool.
It is. It's intriguing because I'm connected to you. You're an April baby. I mean, my husband loves you. I love you.
And I love you too, baby.
Yes, family. So I know that you have to get off. And I just want to know, who has been your inspiration? And who do you still give credit to? Who's that? Who's your who?
Okay, that's a great question. And there are quite a few of them. The first person I think I looked at as that inspiring icon to me was actually Denzel Washington. Set aside the fact that, you know, him and all his hotness, but it wasn't just that. I'd read his books, you know, I'd watched a lot of his movies. And, you know, one of the things that I remember him saying in his books was that, you know, from an early age, he wanted to be known first as an actor than a person of color. And that's not to say that he was trying to diminish who he was as a person, but he didn't want his ethnic origin to define, to be the sole definition. He wanted to be known for, you know, for his talents. And he's a phenomenal, phenomenal actor. And so he really looked to be cast in roles that weren't dependent on a character trait, because that was something where he had no control over. He was who he was. And so he wanted to just be accepted for a human being who could act. And so that, for me, from the get-go, I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Because, you know, as a person of color, yes, and I don't want to get political here, but we know that, you know, everybody has a lived experience where, because of the shade of your skin tone, something has or has not happened. And so some of us grow up or have grown up with a mindset that because of that one trait, it may limit us from doing the things that we should be doing, or we don't go after this because, or we don't think they're going to accept us because. And my mindset has always been, I don't care. You know, I don't wake up in each morning thinking I'm black. I just, you know, I'm Yemi. This is what I do, and I just want to do it. And my philosophy is, if I try to do it over here and the people over here don't like it or don't want to play with me, great. I just go build my sandbox elsewhere and do my thing there. And I'll find people that want to play in my sandbox. I don't need to waste energy, time, anything on the people that don't want to play. I ain't got the time. I got stuff to do. So he was my very first inspiration. And then, of course, Oprah. You know, it's enough said. You can't say anything else. But the thing that Oprah had said that also resonated with me, and I happened to just be working one night and she was on TV and I wasn't really paying attention, but out of everything, the interview, whoever she was interviewing, the one sentence that came out of the entire conversation that seeped into my consciousness, she said, always do things, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting her directly, but she said, whatever you do, do it to the utmost. Do it as if somebody's watching, even though nobody's watching, if that makes sense. So always do your best, because you never know who's seeing you. And so you never know who's watching you. And so that's also been a mantra that I've also lived by. I mean, as you can probably tell from my energy, I'm always operating at like 120%, because that's who I am. But I never, whatever it is I do, I never believe in doing it half, 50%. That, you know, either do it 100% or don't do it at all. And so, you know, I know people always talk about, oh, Yemi, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing the other. I'm just doing it because I'm feeding my soul. I'm doing the things that I enjoy doing. And I want to be able to, when I'm on my deathbed, when I'm, you know, dying, I can look back at my life and not have any regrets about what I did or, you know, didn't try or, you know, failed to do because I was too scared. So I just throw myself into it 100% and I enjoy myself. I have fun doing what I do. And then, of course, my third person that I would mention, and I know these are very, very obvious people, but they just, you know, they're in the public eye. You see them every day. So it's hard to miss their successes. Our vice president. I mean, if you watched when President Biden was giving his, well, I know they didn't call it the State of the Union address because it's his first year, but when he was giving his speech, and I just have to look up at the television, and I didn't even see Biden in the middle. I just saw Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris on both sides, and you couldn't even see their faces. All I saw were the pearls, the camisole they had underneath, and the blazer. And I thought, oh my God, is that a picture or what? And it was just incredible. And so, you know, my mindset, again, going back to believing that I can do anything, I've never subscribed to the fact that I cannot, you know, which is why I reference your saying about the only person in your way is you. But the fact that, you know, a lot of young girls, regardless of their ethnic background, could look at that screen and not question whether or not they could be in those two positions. Whereas you and I have grown up, we've grown up half in a time where women were still regarded as second class citizens. And now we're beginning to see a transition where now we're really instilling it into young girls that they can do and be whoever they want to be. And so, you know, so right off the top of my head, those would be my three inspirations.
I just gave you your personal quote. And I'm going to put this as a note in your book because I heard it here first. I never subscribed to I cannot. I've never heard that before until today. I will definitely research and make sure no one else has used that. But I love that because that is exactly who you are. I recall every time I had to be with you, it was like an appointment. It was an agenda, even to get you to come over to my house. You know, I had to be on a schedule, even to get you and the models to be in an event. I had to make sure that I put you up in a nice hotel. You had a private room, and you know, it had to be connected to my room because I wanted to make sure you would be there. So I had to give you first class treatment because you are a woman of status. And that's what I've always loved about you. You are consistent with who you are, and you never, it's like you said, I never subscribed to I cannot. And you didn't say, Betty, I cannot do this. All right, Betty, what do I need to do? Give me the details. I'm like, okay, first you need to check into your hotel room.
And that was a nice hotel. I remember that. I enjoyed that night. Thank you.
Bring your work with you, and you can have the room all to yourself, mm-hmm. Just, you know. So you don't have anything to worry about at what time you need to be here or I'm going to rush to get there. Bring everything with you because you are a woman of status. And if anyone should want to hire you, I would say make sure you take care of her because her mind works 1,000 seconds per second. Listen, that's just how she operates in excellence. Honestly, so I know you have to leave. And I said the one last question is,
yeah, may I just re-quantify that when you say, when I say I never subscribe to I can't. Now, unless it's something that does not align with my personal philosophy, I don't just say yes to everything. You know, but if it's something I set my mind to that I want to do, my thing is always, I love a challenge. So it's always, all right, sure, let's do this. Even if I don't know how to do it, it's like, yeah, let's do it. And then it's like, all right, how do we do this now? And then the challenge is in how we make it work. But it's not that I would say yes to everything that crosses my table. I have to make sure that it aligns with something that I would want to do. But what I know for sure is that everything that I choose to do, I do it and I enjoy the process. And I derive satisfaction from doing those things. And in those things, those would be the times when I would say that, you know, I cannot, does not need to be part of the equation. You know, it can always be figured out.
That's you. I know. I got it. I knew exactly where you were coming from with that quote. I know. So my last question, and then in this question, you can also let us know how to connect with you if you so desire.
Okay.
So what does resurrection mean to you? The definition of resurrection. And then you can end that with how people can contact you.
Now, resurrection can mean a bunch of different things to a bunch of different people. Now, if you are religiously minded, you're probably thinking of it in terms of Jesus Christ. You know, he died, he resurrected, you know, for our sins. You know, but for those, the part of the audience that aren't necessarily religious, there's nothing wrong with, you know, with who they are, but it's got their choice of belief. It could also mean, you know, where are you right now? Are you in a place where you're happy? And, you know, even when you're in a place where you're happy, there's always something new, something better, some next level of, you know, whether it's financially, emotionally, intellectually, physically, that you might want to be aspiring to. So you never want to think that you've arrived. And so, you know, when I think back to 10 years ago, when I bought the agency, I was, aside from the fact that, yes, I had a business degree, I had an MBA, so I understood the theory of starting a business. But did I have the experience starting a business? No. And I remember, in order, you're going to laugh at me when I say this, Betty, in order for me to be able to get up every day and go to work and get this done and not have a heart attack, I told myself that I'm going to convince myself that I did not own this company, I worked for it. And I kid you not, for the first year or so, when people would meet me for the first time and they say, "Yeah, what do you do?" I would say, "Oh, I work for a modeling agency." I didn't say I owned it, because I could not wrap my head around the fact that I had actually done that. It's like, oh my God, what did I just do? And I was, what, 41, 42 at the time. And, you know, I did this. Yes, I had support of my family and whatnot, but there wasn't a significant other. There wasn't somebody that I could come home at the end of the day and say, "Oh my God, honey, this and this and happened." So whatever I was dealing with, whatever challenges I had when I came home, it was like just me, myself, and I. So I was having my conversation with myself. So there was no sounding board to share with. Now, 10 years later, when I see where I am and my conversation, my dialogue, the confidence that I convey, and I compare it to that young 40-something-year-old, I'm 52 now, just in case everybody's wondering, you know, that young, bright and bushy-tailed woman, I can see that there was a resurrection that happened, you know, for me, where I've grown out of where I was, and I've emerged as this new person. And it's not just that I've emerged, but I'm now working confidently in the space that I am, knowing who I am. And I recognize this, you know, now, you know me, Betty, I'm down to earth, I don't take myself too seriously. Life is too short. So I don't walk around like I'm, you know, the Queen of Sheba. I'm just yelling. And I have, I also mentor. I didn't mention that, but I'm mentoring about 5 or 6 young business entrepreneurs that are coming up now, because I feel it's nice to be able to give back and, you know, give a hand to the ones coming up behind you. And one of them is very young. And so, you know, when he first connected with me, he said, I didn't really believe that you existed, that I would actually get a call from you. I cannot believe I'm having a conversation with you right now. And he was, you know, awestruck. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, you need to just sit down and talk to my friends. They'll tell, oh yeah, Yem is just yummy. You know, so, but having said that though, I do recognize, the, how do I say this now? The persona that people see on the outside, you know, and it took me a while to get there, but you know, it's as I said, my resurrection is going from where I started 10 years ago to who I am now. And that was, it's constantly evolving. So in another 5, 10, 15 years, when I'm about to retire, you know, who am I going to be at that point? So as individuals, when we're thinking about growth, personal growth, that's something that we should constantly be thinking about, so that we're moving from one spot and we're emerging somewhere else. So it's like a snake, or you know, the animals that shed that, you know, that casing, whatever that is. And it doesn't need to be physically, you know, of course I'm not talking about your skin, but the beliefs, the thought process. A lot of us live by that I cannot, or you know, this is holding me back, or I couldn't do this because, or I'm, you know, I'm not tall enough, I'm not old enough, I'm not whatever, I'm not whatever the limitations we put on ourselves. But it's, you know, letting that part of you, putting that part of you to rest. And there's nothing wrong with that. You have to go through that in order to be able to grow out of it and come into the next stage or next version of who you are. So we're constantly shedding. We're constantly shedding these experiences, but those experiences combine and make who we are. You cannot separate, and you shouldn't regret. You should not be apologetic for who that person was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, because it's part of your learning process. That's part of what makes Betty Betty and part of what makes Yemi Yemi. So you have those battle scars and you wear them proudly. And you keep them with you, and you can share those experiences with the young people coming up so that, you know, they're going to resurrect too. And part of the experience that you're giving to them becomes part of their experience as well. Did that all make sense?
Oh my goodness, it does. And you and I can see one another, and I'm exhaling, I'm breathing, I'm clapping, I'm shouting, I'm running, I'm jumping. Because you are inspiring me with your resurrection story. And this is Yemi Sekoni with the Donahue Group. And I'm gonna tell you, you can she's on Facebook.
Yes.
And then what is your website?
So all right, yes, I have a bunch of them. So on social media, Facebook and Instagram, if you just look for Yemi Sekoni, Y-E-M-I, and the last name is Sekoni, S-E-K-O-N-I. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. But the agency's website is DonahueModels.com. If you wanted to, if your audience wanted to see what the modeling agency, what that side of me looks like. But yes, social media would be the best way to find me.
And I love her so much. Honestly, I said I wasn't supposed to keep her this long, but I try to take advantage of her time when she allows me to, or when she gives me just an inch, I take a mile. So I want to say thank you so much for being here with us today, Yemi. If there is one nugget that you would like to leave as a takeaway, what would you do? What would you say?
Nugget, 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 nugget. Life is too short. Don't think about it, do it. A wise man once said, don't talk about it, be about it. Who's that? It's a rapper. Don't talk about it, be about it. Who's that? Oh God. Is it Busta Rhymes or is it Jay-Z? I forget which one. But don't talk. Talk is cheap. Do. A lot of us tend to talk. And we don't always implement. One of the things that that I say a lot is I don't let grass grow under my feet. Mm-hmm. So if I make a decision to do something, I start to think about ways. And you don't need, everybody can eat an elephant. You eat the elephant one bite at a time. You can't swallow it home. It's one bite at a time. So whatever it is you set your mind to, just do baby steps every day. A little bit here, a little bit there. Before you know it, you're going to be looking back thinking, oh my God, I've accomplished it. So yes, don't talk about it. Be about it.
We're no longer in the month of April, but I tell you what, she's definitely an April baby.
But can I say, Betty, that you're doing amazing things as well. The fact that you've got this platform and you are using it to inspire people as well. A lot of people out there are looking for someone to give them, some positive words, some positive energy, some food for thought that they can hold on to. So, I'm sure you have an idea of your impact, but you never know who's listening to each podcast one at a time that you're really just pulling out of whatever darkness they're living in. So, I applaud you for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you, my sister. Honestly, I have to get back on your calendar before the year is out. I know that everyone is going to want to hear more of you. If not, to know, I'm thinking, is she single, married? Can we have her in Europe? Can she come to London? We would like to have her in all of
Oh, absolutely. I will be there. I mean, I'm a Birmingham girl, but I used to be up in London pretty often. So
we're going to make that trip together. That's what we need to date. That is something we have to do. Yes. So I'm not going to take up much more of your time. It's like four, it's 30 past now. So I love you. And
love you
time, I'll send you all the information concerning your interview today. Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Say is wow, wow, wow. Each time we've been on this month, we've had phenomenal, phenomenal guests on our show this month. So I can't help but reiterate that strong people are not simply born. They level up by sharing their imprints they create throughout their life journey. I can't help but tell you that strong people are not simply born. They resurrect by sharing the imprints they generate throughout their life journey. You know, you have to remember that strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming the things you once thought you couldn't. So thank you again for tuning in with us here on Overcoming Battles by Being Strong, yes, and Courageous. This is Dr. Betty Speaks. I look forward to seeing you here again.
Patty Speaks, the international transformational storyteller. Just what you need. Time to listen up for motivation on a journey with Patty Speaks.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.